I'm sure that you all have felt more keenly aware at times of congregational songs or special song, more so one day over another. You know, sometimes they click with us where they might not with somebody else, and the next Sunday it's somewhere else. Well, tonight these songs that Toby chose, every single one of them just seemed to click with me tonight. I love that song, I Will Praise Him. Though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. That's some profound words when we really get to the point where we can say them from our heart. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. Then God's fire upon the altar, the purging fire of the Holy Spirit, my heart was set aflame. Some great words. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy. Praise God. And then the beautiful medley of songs, choruses that we've just heard. Praise His name. Every heart clear tonight. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Carry on a little bit from something that I touched on this morning. I'm going to take one of the examples that I looked at, and maybe I stayed on this person too long this morning and stole a little bit of thunder from tonight. But I want to look at the rich young ruler for a little while this evening. Revival meeting, it's something that we schedule annually, isn't it? You know, we have meetings. We try to have at least 6 days of meeting. Well, it used to be 10 or 11 or 12. In our fast-paced world, we keep subtracting. We're down to about 6 days. Of course, it's hard to schedule an evangelist because for 10 days because they don't have 10 days open a lot of times. But revival meeting, what does it mean to us? What's the purpose? I don't know, it's still a month away. I know that we're a lot of water yet to go under the bridge. There's a lot of things to take place prior to that time, and some of us live from day to day and we don't think too much about down the road a month, but when it comes to revival meeting, we really need to have more than just a day-to-day approach to it. We need to be thinking, praying, seeking God for help in revival meeting. I want us to take notice tonight of this story. I didn't read it this morning, but I want us to read it this evening. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, you could find it in Matthew 19 or Luke 18, but I want to read this particular account this evening. Begin with verse number 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, There's a text. There's a text right there for revival. There came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" We are very familiar with that story. It's become common to us. But again tonight, the thing that stands out about this story is that little phrase, four words, "One thing thou lackest." You know, that's amazing. One thing. He had done so many other things. He had been faithful in so many other areas, but one thing. "One thing thou lackest." What could it be that he lacked? If Jesus were to stand before you and I this evening, would there be something in your life, in my life, that Jesus could say, "Just one thing you're lacking"? I'm not talking about sin, that there's one sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm not wanting you to go there necessarily. Now, if there's sin, I hope the Holy Spirit places his, not just his finger on it, but his hand on it. But I'm talking about things that may be involved with our lives, our personal life. "One thing thou lackest." You say, well, what could there be? Okay, let's look at one that has been common among people. You can feel it yourself or not. The lack of prayer. Have you ever been there before? You've at least somewhere in your life been found lacking in prayer. Who's to say how much one is to pray? But has the Holy Spirit touched your life, your heart, and said, "One thing thou lackest"? Maybe it's not prayer. Maybe it's something else that the Holy Spirit could stand before you visibly and say, as Jesus did to this young man, "One thing you are lacking. One thing you fall short in." Let's look at this man. What was it that he was short in? What was it that he lacked in? Was it too much money? Was it that this man had too much in the savings account and in his billfold and his IRA and whatever else? Wherever else he put it. It indicates to us that there had to be something in relationship to money, because Jesus laid his finger or his hand and pointed to something to do with the money that this young man had. Was it money? Was it too much money? Well, if it was too much money, then how much is too much? Whether we want to admit it or not, there's a lot of places in the world that you and I can go to that, as poor as we think we are quite wealthy in comparison. On the other hand, there's some places that are not very far away from here that you and I can go to and realize that we aren't quite as wealthy as what other people are. Jonathan and I sat in a class yesterday, and we were outnumbered by the amount of money that people made in this world. I don't know how much money was represented there in that little class setting, but there was quite a bit of money there. We just kind of went along with the flow of the conversation. Look at all this ability to, who says how much money's too much? Who gets to decide how much is too much? Maybe in this setting, I could be the one to say how much money is too much money. No, that won't work, because some don't even like me saying anything about certain areas of lifestyle, like fashion and entertainment and such like that. I'm sure that if someone doesn't want me touching those things in a person's life, they surely aren't going to let me touch their pocketbook. Right? Maybe I've said it before, there's a priest that I'm aware of. I've never met him. I just know family that was in his parish. And it was said in conversation on a few occasions that the priest sat down with every member of his parish every year and said, this is how much you make, this is how much you give to the church. Boy, we would really go along with that now, wouldn't we? No. No, we wouldn't. As a matter of fact, it really wasn't even that this man had too much money. It wasn't that Jesus was saying, sir, you have too much money. You can't get to heaven with that much money. That's not what Jesus was saying. Even though Jesus indicated something that sounded like that, that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. That's kind of what it sounded like, that it's impossible for a person that has too much money. But he never gave us what that too much money was. But what he did give us was an understanding that it wasn't the money, but it was the grip that this man had on his money. He trusted too much in his possessions. So ultimately, what we see here in this little story, this little incident that takes place, even though the man ran to him, that's what this account gives us. Ran to him. Running, he walked away sorrowful because Jesus laid his finger ultimately on his particular need. Do you realize this evening that if we fall short in any area of our life, that is really identical to what this man's need or problem or his lacking was? This story's not about money. This story is about something that was hindering him, that was a problem for him, that was keeping him from doing all that God wanted him to do. It could be said this way, that Jesus was requiring for this man to have a death to the capital I, just like Jesus does for us. Jesus was requiring him to have a surrender of his personal will, exactly like Jesus does for us. Jesus was requiring this particular man to allow the fire of the altar of God to purge the dross of self, just like he does for us. All I claimed was swept away. All I claimed was at my feet in ashes. And then the fire on the altar. Kind of makes me think, my mind go back into Genesis chapter 15 to a story that is given there about Abraham, and I've referred to this in recent weeks. When he laid out all of those pieces of the animals for sacrifice, and then in the midst of the dream, he saw the candle, the fire of God come and move up and down between every single piece. If we were to bring that picture right here this evening, that God's fire would move up and down these aisles and in and out of every pew and around every person. And that fire in the New Testament is representative of the Holy Spirit and his cleansing. And the burning, the purging, the burning of the dross of selfish desire, the sinful bent. What I want us to do this evening is simply to gather in around the front, as many as can and will. And let's ask God to search us individually, personally. Is there one thing, just one thing that I'm lacking? Is there one thing that I can't release, that I can't let go of? Even if it's as small as what we would consider a penny. Pennies aren't worth much. Dropped two of them yesterday in the parking lot, and I reached down and picked them up. I'm not parting with them that way. Is that the way we hold things and hang on to something? One thing. Just simply one thing. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit to purge, to burn around us, within us, cleanse afresh and anew. To clear everything that would distract us from God, everything that would pull us from God, everything that would hinder us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saying tonight that everything is clear in that sense, that you don't have anything like that, please come and join with us anyway and ask God to speak. Let's gather in. Let's just simply begin tonight preparing our heart for what revival may have for us, what meeting may have for us. Let's gather in this evening.